Good morning, a Tuesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok, on Passover. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, David. It's a wonderful thing that we've come marching into spring. Boy, we've all been waiting for this for a long time. And frankly, we all deserve it.
Well, let's talk about what perhaps we might not deserve. That has to do with Syria, then editorializing today, an administration in disagreement with itself. Officials' explanations for President Trump's airstrikes on a Syrian base have only deepened confusion over his intentions and the legal basis for his unilateral use of force, from the New York Times this morning, Alan.
Well, you know, David, there's a lot of fighting going on between various factions in the White House. But it does appear that the military people have basically taken over, and somewhat with a sigh of relief compared to the Bannon forces, which are still pretty much in charge in a lot of ways in the Trump White House. You know, I have this feeling about Trump, maybe I'm wrong, but I have this feeling that his operating philosophy is to keep people confused and to do things that are erratic and in some minds crazy. And he thinks that that's an effective way because it keeps everybody standing on one foot. But then again, nothing means anything. So we read that he tells Bannon and Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, to straighten things out. And then we hear that they have straightened things out because, you know, Bannon called Kushner a Democrat of all things. Couldn't be more of a devil than that. And then they straightened it out. And then we begin to hear the rumors that the war is still going on. So we keep seeing Trump saying things and then other people saying different things. And it could be, of course, that that's just the way that it is. On the other hand, it could also be that this is the way Trump likes to have people thinking about him. And then there's all the question of what kind of business is he doing with the Russians? So all of that is pretty much up in the air. And from a political scientist's point of view, or maybe a psychologist, really interesting.
Meantime, from the Democratic side, and New York U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer, the minority leader, yesterday said that while he supported President Donald Trump's decision to launch an airstrike at an airfield in Syria, he doesn't want to be bogged down in a conflict similar to the Iraq War.
I think Schumer has to be careful. I think the New York Times has to be careful. I tell you, when somebody does something really fast and it looks good on first blush, as Mrs. Wick used to say to me, shut talk, keep shut. There are just times to wait a little bit and see what happens. And then we learn that they told the Russians that it was coming. The Russians told the Syrians that it was coming. They were very careful and circumspect with how they did it. And the Syrian jets, as I've said before, were taking off right after the Tomahawk missiles at $500 million, some people say $1 billion, some say, landed. And then the Syrians got back in the air and bombed the same targets, this time perhaps not with poison gas, but with barrel bombs, which can be very insidious. So I think, once again, all is not as it looks.
Let's turn to journalism. The Pulitzer Prizes are out, and the Washington Post, David Fahrenthold, among the winners. Fahrenthold was investigating Donald Trump's charitable donations and later for disparaging comments he made about women. We have the New York Times walking away with three Pulitzers, including for international reporting on Russia and President Vladimir Putin and the value of journalism. The president has called journalists enemies of the people, which I guess includes us, Alan. And as a result of that, we've seen people reaching toward journalism.
Well, that's right, David. All of a sudden, journalism takes its proper place in a democracy. Obviously, it comes with a certain quotient of fear, which is doled out to the practitioners. In Putin's Russia, journalists really live in fear of their lives. Same thing happens in some of the former countries that used to make up the Soviet Union. Our own Rosemary Omeo travels the world, and she deserves a prize too, of course, travels the world training journalists in these countries how to do investigative reporting. So when you see work that the Washington Post has done when properly financed, or you see the New York Times, you know, they truly deserve an awful lot of credit. Because if we get through this very tough time, it's going to be because of the aggressive work of crusading journalists. But this is a time that courage becomes very important for journalists.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, as always, we thank you.
And as always, David, we thank you. I don't know that everybody understands how hard it is for you to get up at 2:30 every single morning and get to the microphones and to do what you do. It's extraordinary, and thank you for doing it.
With the mission we have, it's not as hard as you might think.
That's great.